They tuck it away and run for it inside the five, and he's in for the Lions touchdown.
Barry Sanders turned around a defensive back about three times. Wow.
The guy is trying to tackle him, but he's got his back to Barry because he can't find him.
Here's a touchdown, Lions. Holy mackerel, what a run by Barry Sanders.
Detroit. There'll be a 15-yard penalty on the kickoff, but the play is not reviewable.
Welcome to a special edition of the Roar of the Lions UK podcast, live from Detroit, Michigan. I'm Matthew Turner, alongside Ashley Soden. And Ash, a couple of extensions today. And we're in the city where it's happening. They've waited until the draft to get it all done. It's a fantastic day to be a Lions fan.
It really is. It really is. We've sort of woke up to the news of, obviously, our star wide receiver getting extended. Then me and you decide to pay a visit to history and go to the Motown Museum. And out we come and we see that Penny's been signed to an extension as well. So it's just a great day. They know everyone's coming here for the draft. So they're almost like, let's just drop all the news. Everyone can celebrate together and then head into the draft tomorrow with even more excitement on our hands.
So we'll get to the extensions in just a minute, but we've been in town since Monday. We flew in on Sunday. We spent a day in Chicago before we made the drive over. I've been here before, but Ash, it's your first time in the city. What have you made from it so far? What have we been up to? Just tell the people a little bit about it, especially the guys back home we've maybe not been to yet.
True. So, like, obviously, people around the world obviously have this sort of reputation for the city. It's not like you hear at all. Like, okay, everywhere has a bit of rough air parts. Being from Birmingham, I've seen a load of rough areas myself for cities. But Detroit, the people are so lovely. Even the random NPC meetings we've had where people have come up to us and said some pretty fun stuff, like the Queen is still alive, she's been cryogenically frozen. Great. It's been a great time. We've done a lot of walking. We've probably walked more this past couple of days than we probably had in the month before. But seeing every other site's obviously... The Spirit, for example, with its lovely draft shirt on. Haven't seen the Fist yet because that's locked off. But that accidentally sneaking into where the draft area was with Jeremy Reisman yesterday after our wings. So we totally did not do that. It totally wasn't our fault because the security guards were on break and they didn't put the thing up so we could get pretty close or anything. But yeah, it's been a fun time, obviously, meeting the POD guys yesterday, Jeremy and Morgan, just hanging out, seeing all the sights. At least one of us managed to get their black jersey. Me, I'm having to order it special now for NFL Europe because they don't have any Kirby ones and I'm fulfilling my promise to everyone.
Yeah, it's been absolutely fantastic. And shout out Jeremy for putting the thing out there for us, just saying it was great to meet us. I mean, I'm sure it was more of a thrill for us than it was for him. But going to Clearwater Tavern, and if you don't know about it, it's a fantastic place to have some chicken wings. It's a very famous place in the city, and it was great to kind of go with him and Morgan. Morgan, what a guy. Yeah. We need to get him on the show really soon. That's going to be fantastic. But let's get to these extensions then. The first one, I mean, both of them really have come as a shock, but we're in line for the Motown Museum. We're waiting to hear all about the artists and the story of the Gordy family and what have you. And then the news comes out that Amon-Ra St. Brown gets a four-year extension worth $120 million with $77 million guaranteed. Now, it was always going to be a touchy issue. We've gone back and forth about how this extension might cost. When we came, actually, we were being told by some people locally they thought that Amon-Ra St. Brown might have been out of the building, that this sort of money might have not been workable for him. We always knew that it might have been near the top of the market, and for a wide receiver who's mainly a slot guy, can play some outside, split about 50-50 last year, but primarily his best position is in the slot, and he's not a speedy guy, he's not burning people over the middle of the field, over the top of the field, the top of the market for some people seem really rich. And here he is now as the newly minted highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. But we kind of saw this coming.
Yeah, especially a certain person who accurately predicted the $30 million AAV. He's totally not rubbing in my face when it came out and saying, oh, I've done this, but it feels right. And as some people are quite rightly pointed out on Twitter as well, it's good to do it now, sort of set the market ourselves before CD Lamb, Justin Jefferson, potentially Jamar Chase, with him getting his fifth year picked up today, maybe they tack on some years as well. We've beat them to the punch, so while it looks a lot now, Amon-Ra being top, then one, it's worth it anyway, but in a couple of years, year two of the deal, it's going to look like cheapest chips compared to what they're all going to get. So it's good that we sort of beat them to the punch and got the market set ourselves before it gets set even higher, because now Justin Jefferson, if he's wise, is going to be asking for 35, and that's going to absolutely bankrupt the Vikings, hopefully.
Absolutely. So we don't know a huge amount about the deal at the moment. I mean, this and the Sewell deal are both still kind of coming out with the details. We know that for Amon-Ra, it's an average of $28 million per year for the first 3 years, which by my maths makes the final year of that deal 36. The word extension was used, and because he's still got his fourth year, it's not entirely clear if we're ripping up that fourth year or whether we're keeping the fourth year and then the extension starts once that ends. I believe it's the latter, but I don't think anyone's actually really confirmed one way or the other. But I mean, assuming that it is the latter, because that does seem the more likely, we then get him for about $3 million this year before the $28 million starts. And for someone of his production, production-wise, he's been a top three wide receiver in the last two seasons, I think. In terms of PFF grade, he was second two seasons ago, and in the most recent season, I think he was in the top 10 as well. So his importance to the team just can't be overstated. And for me, yeah, he's a slot guy. And you don't traditionally play people like him, but if you take Amon-Ra out of the lineup, I think the offense does just crumble, and maybe not in one game or two games that he's out, but if you risked an entire season without him by letting him walk, I think that Goff kind of just, his ability to do what he's done diminishes greatly.
100%, because we all know Goff likes his in-breaking routes, and I do believe that Amon-Ra was second in the league this past year on sort of productivity over the middle on in-breaking routes, and that's what Goff loves. And it's just not that as well. Obviously, with Goff, it's what he brings in terms of our whole offense, the work ethic, the 202 balls after every practice, the being ambassador for the team and for the game and widely, obviously, with him being German and us now picking up the German markets, extends us to there. Maybe we get a bit more fans of them, maybe a game. It's not just the production off of, on the field, but also the off stuff that we would entirely miss, because Amon-Ra is one of the foundations of this team, first draft class 2021. Him being the sort of underdog guy with the list of all the receivers taken in front of him, he brings that entire mentality to the team, that sort of underdog that's brought us from where we were when this regime started and he was picked, and now one of the best teams in NFC. He's been the driving force of that, so he deserves every dollar that he's getting paid now.
He absolutely does. And now we'll move on to Penei Sewell's extension. Now, these details are more recent. It's happened in the last hour or so. And we don't know whether this is going to be tacked onto the fifth-year option or anything like that. That still seems to be up in the air in terms of us finding out what's going on. But his deal is reportedly a four-year, $112 million a year deal. That is $28 million a year, if my maths checks out. It makes him the highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL. So we have the most expensive offensive lineman and wide receiver today. The deal includes $85 million guaranteed. Now, we both talked privately before we started this about the need to keep all of these guys in the building. And we've done that. But the instant reaction was basically one word from you, which was beginning with D.
Like, it was, I can't even remember.
Discount.
Oh, yeah, discount. I'm so sorry. Sorry. Bargain. I was expecting a lot more. I know, obviously, it's working out at 3AV over Larry Tunsil's, currently the highest paid offensive lineman. But this is, I was thinking 30 plus for Sewell as well. Like, for someone, again, the first pick, the proper foundation of this team, 7th overall, he's the guy we've built around. For him to go where he was couple of years ago to now second best offensive lineman in the league behind Trent Williams, and honestly the difference is not that much between them now. This is a massive discount for us, even if it does include the fifth year option, which will be which might inflate numbers a bit. It's a discount. He could have asked for 30, 32, 35 and I would have been happy, because you need to pay your star tackles. And if he, just as we said with Amon-Ra, if Sewell gets injured, God, the drop-off. As much as I like some of the tackles that are in this draft and around the league, no one can replace Sewell, especially with what he does in the run blocking, like almost perfect run blocking grade last year. You can't replace that with anyone. So keeping him locked up, if it was a 10-year deal, I wouldn't have been surprised. He needs to retire the line right at this point. He needs to retire a line. We need to keep him locked up for as long as possible.
And the really key thing for me about both of these players is that they are really the tone setters of the team in terms of the way they conduct themselves and carry themselves, but the way they demonstrate on and off the field that they are stand-up people that you can just be proud of to support.
Yeah.
And for me as a fan, it's really important to keep these guys in the building and to demonstrate exactly what it means to be a Lion. And if you do that, you're going to get paid. And I mean, we can't pay everyone now that all the chat is talking about which of the guys maybe now can't we afford. Yeah. And that's going to have to be a difficult conversation that we do approach, because there might be some guys who do prove themselves and unfortunately the money just isn't there. However, there should be some spare cap to roll around in. Maybe it goes up again next year or the year after that and we all look rosy and happy, hunky-dory. But for now, the two most important tone-setting lines are under contract for, I mean, the next half a decade.
Yeah, I think on Spot Track, they both have them down as free agents in 2029. So yeah, there's two cornerstones sorted. And we did have a brief discussion when the Amon-Ra news came out, who maybe has to miss out. And I know obviously Sheffield has tweeted in the past 20 minutes that supposedly there is discussions of a deal for Goff, but it's not close. I can kind of see it. We were discussing that out the sort of pentagram of big players that we have with Amon-Ra, Saul, Goff, Hutchinson and Aleem, if we had to sacrifice one or two, it probably would have to be Aleem and Goff, because the others are just too foundational, which I know sounds a bit blasphemous when Goff's been the guy who's led to turn around and Aleem is a great DT, but it's just the others are more like premier positions and have played better in a way. Like, I know Goff's been amazing, but obviously had that meltdown in second during the middle of last season where he was turning the ball over and like nobody's business. Aleem, I know he's had last year's breakout, but it's been a while coming. We kind of just need to, if we can get them under contract and it all works, we can get everyone there, great. But as you said, it is getting to that point now where we have to start making the difficult decisions of, we can't pay everyone, who can we afford to keep, who can we afford to let go and start replacing. And unfortunately, Goff and Aleem look the most replaceable right now. Of course, as we know with the clips, if 12 months time, they're signed and they're playing great and actually they look irreplaceable, I'll hand my hands up and take this, be the foreman as per usual. But it's getting to that point now when you've seen it with the 49ers. They had to trade, they traded away DeForest Buckner because he was a bit too expensive. The Ravens have had to make difficult decisions. The Eagles in some ways have had to do it with some of their players. We're getting to that point now where we have to start thinking like that, like the top premier position, franchises, because that's what we are now. We are one of them and we have to start making the big boy decisions they have to.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting discussion to talk about in the future, because I mean, the off-season doesn't stop right here, although it kind of feels like it's coming to a culmination. I'll touch on that in just a second. But I think it's all about just the sort of puzzle of making the cap fit together with the players. I really do think that we can get Goff and Aleem under contract, but if you do that, then maybe there's like three peripheral players where you'd like to pay them $4 or $5 million and maybe you can only do one of them now, as opposed to if you let Aleem go, you can do all three with some change. Yeah. And you know, you can do this, but then if you do this, then you can't do that. And that's the puzzle that needs to be solved. But just briefly to finish, in terms of the timing of both of these deals, it's been rumbling on for the entire offseason. We need to get these two guys under contracts. And when's the Goff extension coming? They keep on being hammered on the Goff point, actually. But there's Taylor Decker, there's Ife Melifonwu, all these guys we've been talking about extensions. And none of them have happened until the day before day one of the NFL draft. It feels a little deliberate to me.
Same, yeah. As I mentioned earlier, it kind of seems like a good time. Everyone now descending on Detroit for the draft, of it being tomorrow. I know the experience has been opened up to season ticket holders this morning to go to do the 40-yard dash and everything. All the national media here. So it kind of seems like the perfect time to go, here's some big news to break. Do it just to build not only anticipation for the draft, because now we've got these guys under contract. Seems like what's the next big move the Lions can make. And I know when we were earlier, we were discussing, I was maybe saying, we've then been asked so much about what you can do about trading down. It almost seems like things always happen in threes. Bam and Ra was part one, Saw was part two. Now we're kind of waiting for what's part three going to be. What's the end of the Rising Troikolon, to use a Latin term? What's this big explosion that's going to finish things off? Is it going to be a Goth extension? Is it going to be a trade up in the first to get someone just to push us over the hill? Quinyon Mitchell. Like, this, it just fills an even more anticipation now because, as I said, there has to be something, just a big, like, we've been rising now, Amon Ra, so now we just need the big finale.
Yeah, it feels like it's coming to that point. We're going to cut this one short right here as we go into day one of the NFL draft. We're going to try and do some shows like this, some short catch-ups as the days roll through. Fingers crossed for Detroit in the draft, for the city itself, and that it goes off without a hitch, but also for the team that they pick well, and Brad, we trust. With these deals, it kind of feels like what's on my shirt right now in terms of restoring the Raw. It does actually feel like, without it being too much of a trope, that we're getting there.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed for the next weekend. Hope you enjoy the draft, guys. We'll see you in the next couple of days. But for now, let's go Lions One Pride.
One Pride.